Prescott presents... Irving Miller.
Hello.
Diane Courtney.
Hello.
Five, Lowe, Jack, and the Dame.
And Jackie Heller.
Hello.
Then besides that, that half past after when you should have been there on the hour, that five flights up and nobody home, who's that?
Alan Prescott!
There we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Irving Miller and his baton and his orchestra about to play our love affair.
Thank you very much, Irving. Ladies and gentlemen, we've started a later time this morning, but we have a larger audience. In fact, the average age of our audience this morning, I imagine, is about 6 or 9 years old.
I'm older than that.
We know that. That was from Heller. Heller's the oldest living member of any group, but anyway. They're a bunch of children here, and this is the first time we ever feel that we'll be clearly understood. Good morning. Do you want to say hello to the radio audience? Oh, go on. Well, don't say you don't have to know anything. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Michael Minnick.
Where are you from?
292 Windsor Street.
Well, all right. We'll be right over. Nice to see you, Michael. Hello. What's your name?
Larry Wren.
Larry Wren. That's pushing it, Larry. Do you play football?
No.
Are you going to?
No.
You've got sense. That's fine. Nice to see you. Well, what school are you from?
DS-174.
DS-174. Where's that? Where is it? People out of town don't know. It's over in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York. Nice to see you. Good morning. What's your name?
Woods Lakowski.
What?
Woods Lakowski.
Where are you from, Mr. Lakowski? Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York? What have you got in that lunch bag? You keep it away from here, Irving Miller. He's really a fella for bananas. He snatches them right out from under you. Be very careful. What's your name?
Leon Weinstein.
Where are you from, Mr. Weinstein?
340 Georgia.
How old are you?
Eight.
Eight? Well, just 1 year older than me. Here's some... What's your name?
Darlin Serbin.
Where are you from, Miss Serbin?
558 Sutter Avenue.
Over in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Do you like it over here in New York?
Yes.
You do? Come again, will you?
Yes.
All right. Good morning. What's your name?
Joel Green.
How old are you, Joe?
Eight.
You're 8 years old. Do you play football?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I see. How tall are you? Huh? About how tall? About 3 feet 5 inches, that's your height? Huh? Make a good match for Heller, why don't you... Why don't you two get together? Good morning, what's your name?
Gerald Zuckerman.
Where are you from, Mr. Zuckerman?
BOA Alabama Avenue.
BOA what?
308 Alabama Avenue.
308 Alabama Avenue. Does your mother know you're here today?
Yeah.
You here with your teacher?
Yeah.
You like your teacher? This is your one opportunity, kids. Go to town.
Alan likes.
Is there an Alan here? Is your name Alan?
Yeah.
That's my name, too. How do you like it?
All right.
You get along with it?
Yeah.
Do you like your teacher?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you get good marks in school?
Yeah.
Well, there's where we differ. I certainly didn't. Good morning. What's your name?
Harry Adelson.
Harry Adelson? You've been on. Don't giggle at him now. What do you like best in school?
Alan.
You like Alan best in school?
Yeah.
I'm glad to know you boys get on, all right. What do you like to study best?
Arithmetic.
Arithmetic. Well, he's very brilliant. We'll keep quiet now. Where is Diane? Good morning,
Hello,
Diane.
Alan.
You caught it too, huh? What are you going to sing for the youngsters?
The Magic of Magnolia.
I bet they won't understand that, the magic. What does that mean?
Wait a minute. I'll figure it out and take them all in a group after the program is over and try to explain it.
All right. Mother Courtney goes ahead.
We felt the magic of
together, strolling under the trees. It soared, it conquered all that heavenly breeze. And now that we're apart, magnolias in the air still whisper to my heart that you will soon be there. And once again we'll share that fragrant delight, the magic of magnolias in the land.
Thank you, Diane. That was right pretty. And now, if you kids don't mind, I have a message for your mother, so you just do anything you like. Start to eat that lunch till I finish this. As we sit looking at each other with nothing between us and Christmas but an old broken-down holly wreath and those two tired cans you used last year, I thought I might say a word or two about shopping. When it comes to shopping, a girl and her best friend are soon parted. I think it's an awfully good idea to shop alone. You know what happens to you when you and Mabel go together. You want to go to the linen department and she wants a lawnmower. So you run around missing elevators trying to find each other as you go your separate ways. If Mildred goes to the linen department with you, there's trouble. Oh, yes, there is. You know how it happens. You ask the sales girl if the article is pure linen, and before she has a chance to answer, Mabel says it isn't, and the sales girl says it is, and you agree with the sales girl, and the battle's on. Why don't you try wearing a small hat and a comfortable pair of shoes this time? Your big hat may be prettier, but in a crowded department store, there are too many people under it. Remember, in a crowded elevator, a big, wide picture hat can be turned into a sunbonnet between the first and second floors. Your shoes with the low heels, not the one named Joe that you know, but your shoes with the low heels may not be your favorites, but you can run faster in them. A girl with low heels can beat a mob to the perfume counter every time. Don't wear a fur coat. Holding a fur coat, either on your back or over your arm, through the shopping battle will not only make you feel like you're a one-woman Turkish bath, but you can turn a mink into a mouse by dragging it over just a few counters. Oh, yes, don't wear that long lacy number either when shopping. In the first place, the department's... Am I alone? I just suddenly just silent. In the first place, the department store has something to clean up the floor. Someone to do it. You don't have to with your dress. And beyond that, the holes in the dress might tempt someone to hang an umbrella on you. When you have a day of shopping ahead of you, get in condition for it. Don't sit up all night playing gin rummy, and don't pick the day before to wash down all the steps in the house. After all, football players go into training, and one day of Christmas shopping makes a football game look like a rest cure. Polish up your disposition, too. If you bare your teeth at the clerk at all, smile, don't growl. Oh, I know it's your money you're spending, and they're getting paid to wait on you, but I think they'll help you a lot more if you'll be yourself rather than acting like you were storming a fort. It's an awfully good idea to tell a clerk exactly what you want rather than resorting to sign language. Because sign language gives the clerk a chance to make a few signs back, and after that, you'll never get along. Of course, if you've made the effort and have done your part, and the clerk looks down her nose at you and tells you that what you've asked for is out of fashion, that they're adults using them this season, you can take that heavy handbag, pull your right arm way back, and make your own plan.
Thank you.
have a very novel way of introducing the next act. I hold up a sign, and then I ask somebody to read the sign. Read it, somebody. It says,
Hey, you got it upside down.
It says it's upside down. All right, we'll turn it around, and now it says...
Hi.
Hello, Jack and the Dame.
Hello, gee, I'm glad to see you. You know, that last 2.5 minutes was the loneliest I ever spent in my whole life up here.
We were all here.
You were? I didn't hear from any of you, by the way. There were at least 3 laughs in those. My aunt wrote that script. She's going to be furious about the whole thing.
We started thinking about such a problem. It was very unhappy right there.
Oh, you didn't want to do that. I thought you had yours all done.
I'm not going to do anything.
You're not going to do any Christmas shopping? Just going to send everybody postcards.
Oh, no money.
Well, we know what to do with her, fellas, but it's all right. Goodbye, Vera. It's been very nice. What are you kids going to do this morning?
Mary had a little lamb.
Did you just work that in for our audience this morning here?
Mary
had a little lamb. Do you like that, kids? Mary had a little lamb? Yes, they like that. All right, step over there.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb.
Done by Hi-Lo, Jack and the Dame. While we have a brief pause here, just for a moment, till the musicians get back in place, I'd like to say that if you'd like to come and see us, we do give out tickets for the Prescott Presents program. I know that we've picked up some stations this morning that we haven't carried before, so if you're New York or coming here, write to Guest Relations and ask for tickets, and we'd be glad to see you. Now, I would have words with Irving now. Hello, Irving.
Hello.
Did you ever see a gum drop?
Huh?
No answer. Can't blame him at that. Hello, Irving. Did you ever see a breakfast roll?
No, Alan. I never saw a breakfast roll. Did you ever see a station break? No. Well, you're going to see one right now.
I say, did you ever see a station break? No. Well, you're going to see one right now. Music, Irving. The guy's just a steam sealer at heart. That's what he is. Well, this brings us up to the second section of the Prescott Presents program, ready to give our all, or pretty near our all, for Dear Old Network. Ready to give their all, or pretty nearly all, for Dear Old Network with me are Irving Melanie's Orchestra, Diane Courtney, Hi-Lo Jack and the Dame, Jackie Heller, and yours truly, Alan Prescott.
Who?
Oh. The next bit of Ethereal Abracadabra is labeled our Beautiful Thoughts Division. Let's unwrap it, shall we? We've often wondered what a bit of ethereal abracadabra looks like. Is Milton Foster a sprained soprano in the house? The scene, the Prescott Presents Penitentiary. It's a special jail that we've rented for our jail jokes. And here's our warden and our favorite prisoner, good old 1473, ready to do their stuff. Take it, Ward.
Thank you, Alan Prescott. Now then, 1473, I want you to feel welcome in our little jail. Now here you can pursue any occupation or vocation you wish.
Any occupation or vocation?
That's right. Now what occupation would you like to follow?
Well, please, Warden, I'd like to be a sailor.
Now, Betty didn't get the job.
Of course not.
Well, all right. It was something I just thought of.
It was just a joke, all in fun.
All right. So we rushed from the Prescott Presents Penitentiary, and back at the peace and quiet of good old Studio 3A, we find Jackie Heller under a chair, and he's all ready to sing for us below the equator. That sounds complicated to me.
I was below the chair.
The moon was high below the equator, and you and I
unknown quantity in our rigmarole, ragtag, and bobtail.
Which brings us to what?
You'll find out, so will I, I'm afraid. Listen.
The Prescott Presents program presents Alan Prescott, star of the Prescott Presents program, as the great Prescott, detective. In another practically baffling story of deduction and confusion called The Mystery of the Missing Orchestra.
Take it, Greg. Missing Orchestra? Is it Irving Miller, thank goodness?
Don't be jokey, Pokey.
Gee, some snappy comeback, I'll say.
Oh, cut it out, fellas. The man wants to set the scene. More's the pity.
Thanks, Diane. The scene... What was that you said, Diane?
I said...
That's
the
what
man...
I thought you said, huh?
The scene, ladies and gentlemen, is the luxurious home of Lady Buffington Stuffington.
With cold and hot running servants.
Oh, you keep out of this. It ain't your turn yet.
Oh, watch your grammar.
My grammar has been dead low these many
last
years.
Wednesday. The luxurious home, like I said. And to this home have come the great Prescott and his assistant, Diane, to solve the mystery of the missing orchestra.
My turn yet?
Quiet, Irving. You're missing. And now, Lady Stuffington, in just a few words, tell us all you know.
Oh, you silly boy. Always joking.
I'll tell you.
Well, you certainly came into that aisle kind of wide, didn't you, Ella? Who are you?
I'm Rancid the Butter.
How's that again?
I mean, I'm Rancid the Butter. Typographical error, you see.
Well, don't let it happen again. Proceed, somebody. Go ahead.
We was having a ball, see, in the ballroom, see? And come to find out we have no band, see?
Yeah.
It disappeared, the band.
We know all that, see? Let's have the details. Where were they when they disappeared?
Well, Mr. Prescott, they were playing in the green room just off the grand ballroom. I think. I never saw them.
She thinks. She never saw them. Got that, Diane?
Yeah, but I don't believe it.
You don't believe she never saw them?
I don't believe she thinks.
Quiet. And so, madam, you hired the band, and they played, but you never saw them.
Only their leader, Mr. Miller.
Miller.
Irving Miller.
He plays on the Prescott Presents program. I listen every day.
You do? Well, that's just peachy.
Well, I might as well listen. I have to be there anyway. It's me job.
Oh, enough of that. Lady Stuffington, you're hiding something from us.
Yes, Irving Miller and his orchestra.
No, no, dear boy. I've told all. Irving asked that I let his men play behind drawn curtains. He said they were mood men.
Mood men? Where do I see, Irving? They had to play behind drawn curtains because they were mood men?
Yes. He said they couldn't stand the sight of people dancing. It reminded them that they were playing for money. It spoiled the whole mood.
Ah, I see. A likely story. So?
So, just when they finished playing a beautiful waltz, I drew the curtain aside to congratulate them, and they were gone.
Gone? You mean, gone?
Gone. All except Irving. And he was standing by the phonograph, taking bows.
Enough of that. I'll arrest him for...
For what? For use phonograph records. So they loved it. You can't arrest me.
He's right, Alan. What's the charge?
Wait a minute. I'll think of something. Irving, your band is an all-boy band, isn't it?
That's right. It's an all-boy band.
All males?
All males.
Very well, then. This is going to kid you. You better get back to the orchestra. Very well, then. I'll arrest you for using the males to defraud.
Oh!
Me too. Whereupon we move... Ooh, did anybody hit Diane? Just sit you right up there. Whereupon we move Diane Courtney. You all right, Diane?
Yes, Alan.
I say, what are you going to sing?
I love you more and more every day.
I love you more and more. She sounds like she meant it. Go ahead, Diane.
Lights your eyes, the way you fix your hair, those little things you don't realize, the part of you they thrill me through. I love you more every day. My world's a bore when you're away, and if you don't believe what I tell you, often people will say he loves you more every day. That certain grin that lights your eyes, the way you fix your tie, those little things you don't realize, they're part of you, they thrill me through. I love you more every day. My world's a bore when you're away, and if you don't believe what I tell you, ask and people will say he loves you more every day.
Thank you, Diane. And now to the wife-saving department. Hello, girls. Just in case you happen to be bent over the tubs, don't unbend until I give you a few pointers on washing your clothes.
The first thing to remember while washing is to resist the temptation to throw the whole bundle of soiled clothes into the furnace and walk out on wash day. This is very impractical because it leaves you nothing to do all day Monday when everybody else is busy anyway. Beyond that, Mrs. Holcomb in New York City thinks it's a bad idea for you to soak your clothes in hot water, then leave them until the water is cold. You see, this expands the cloth fiber in the warm water, and they contract again in the cold water. When they contract, they hang right onto the dirt, and you're where you started, except, of course, your clothes are wet. The thing to do is to make a suds of cold water if your clothes are to be soaked for any length of time. Just as I told you one simple truth about washing, let me tell you another about cleaning windows. You must remember that throwing a chair through a window may make it easier to see what's cooking, but it's very impractical because it leaves you with nothing to press your nose against. Instead of breaking all your dirty windows, why don't you follow a suggestion sent here by one of the customers and get yourself an old automobile windshield wiper? The old automobile windshield wiper will, in the first place, let the grocery boy know that you've been around a little yourself, and then besides that, it'll serve as an excellent utensil to wipe the water from the windows after washing them. I think that's always good. Having a window drip all over you, no matter how clean it is kind of a muggy business at best. Well, if you don't want to do that, maybe you'd rather remove rust stains from material. Of course, if you have to have, you have to have rust stains in the first place, So my advice is to run out and lean up against a plow and then start in to remove the rust stains from your dress. The thing to do is to rinse the material first in cold water and then sprinkle the stains with lemon juice. After that, cover the stained area with a thin layer of salt. Then, you let the material lie out in the sun for 2 days before you wash it. Of course, if it gets run over by a horse steps on it, or Irving Miller's playing leapfrog all over the place, Mrs. Tyson in Wincott, Pennsylvania, who sent this in, says that that's your problem. She was only trying to tell you how to remove the rust stain. Under the heading of indoor activities for Junior, other than hitting Grandma with an axe, we come upon the possibility of his blowing soap bubbles. Mrs. Boudreaux in West Chazy, New York, says that Junior's soap bubbles will carry further, be purtier, and last longer if you'll put a little glycerin in the soapy water. I think you ought to do that. It's a terrible thing to have a child blow himself red in the face just to have his bubbles burst before they get started. Mrs. Housewife, I hope there's nothing burning. What is known as exit laughingly with the others. The others in this case are Irving Miller and his orchestra, Diane Courtney, Hilo Jack and the Dame, and Jackie Heller, and all these children who've been so well behaved during the program and haven't thrown one thing. This is Alan Prescott, the Wife Saver, reminding you people who go in for athletics that you should never go to the gymnasium after a hearty meal. You'll never find it there. Be dropping in on you tomorrow.
This is the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA, building Radio City, New York.